Tonight is Monday, April 15th, and as this coming Sunday is Pentecost, I wanted to talk about, well, Pentecost. Pentecost is a long-standing Jewish harvest party, a Christian celebration as old as Jesus' church, and a Greek word that means 50th. And the Pentecost moment described in the New Testament is a first-century event in Jerusalem where people's heads caught fire, sort of. At this event, an indoor windstorm swirled through a packed house party, and everyone was baffled. Some panicked. And then the guys with fiery heads became spontaneously multilingual. Okay, by itself, the Pentecost story in Acts 2 looks kind of bizarre. But seeing what happened on the day of Pentecost within Scripture's larger narrative makes the story more clear. Luke, the author of Acts, is a historian, not a news reporter. He's telling us what happened by drafting a story that intentionally maps onto repeated Old Testament patterns and themes. And this is not the first time that a divine, brilliant fire shows up out of nowhere and doesn't burn everything up. So when we see the first Pentecost in Acts 2 in context, it's not just about God giving people instantaneous multilingual skills or a fiery sign of the Holy Spirit's presence. Its story also marks the beginning of a new world, the ancient yet new fire that Pentecost ignites. In the Hebrew Bible, mysterious windstorms with fire or lightning are consistently associated with two things, God's presence and the formation of a temple. Yahweh becomes present to Moses through the fire as a burning shrub called the Sinath tree, which sounds like Sinai and foreshadows what happens there later. In that famous scene, God speaks to Moses in his own language and tells him he's standing on holy ground, implying that this place is like a temple. And then God promises to empower Moses to help him set Israel free from their oppression. That's Exodus 3. But God assures them that he is partnering with them for their good, not to harm them. And he gives 10 commandments for life that everyone agrees to follow. Later, when the tabernacle is built on the same mountain, God shows up in a huge column of fire, hovering above it. The fire signals God's presence and marks the space as his dwelling place. When Israel builds a permanent temple, the same fire shows up as God's dwelling glory. This is a tangible sign that God's presence has settled in his temple, in the midst of his people's community life. The stories of Moses and the burning bush, Mount Sinai, the tabernacle, and the temple all include fire that shows up when God's presence arrives and marks his dwelling space or temple. In Acts 2, Luke is hyperlinking to these previous divine fire scenes to give a background to the Pentecost story. The divine fire has previously rested on Yahweh's temple spaces. So where does it rest in this scene? Well, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. That's Acts 2, 1 through 3. It's a temple made out of each one of them. It's made of people. People will meet with God not in a geographic place or constructed space, but in connection with those who choose to trust and follow Jesus. God's fire shines with power and harms nobody, and it ignites a cosmic revolution, the church. The story tells us that God now dwells within the community of Jesus' followers. His living temple is made of people who operate like Jesus, ending fear and oppression with love and peacefully teaching humanity how to love and bless one another. In this sense, Pentecost marks the beginning of a new world. For many liturgical and other church traditions, Pentecost Sunday happens 50 days after Easter, and it celebrates the beginning of the church. Remember that at this point in the story, Jesus had already resurrected after his brutal crucifixion, and he's been reconnecting with his messengers, the apostles, to give instructions for their upcoming mission. Luke says that after resurrecting, Jesus was appearing to the apostles and speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. That would surely light them up with hopeful excitement. For centuries, God had been promising to one day end harmful human empires by establishing his own empire with us, by fully integrating his way of life in heaven with our way of life on earth. With heaven and earth completely united, evil has nowhere left to linger. Establishing the kingdom of God means ending evil, which happens not through violent force or coercive threats, but through loving kindness and patient forgiveness. It's a world compelled by love instead of fear. Thrilled at this good news, the apostles were ready to roll. but Jesus echoes the prophet Isaiah and tells them to stay in Jerusalem. He wants them to wait for a time when they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, echoing the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 32:15, and adding that this will happen soon. That's mentioned in Acts 1:4-6, but they've got questions. The apostles ask, "Is this the time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus tells them that the timeline details are not for you to know. It's Acts 1:7. They are bummed and confused, but Jesus assures them that his Holy Spirit baptism will empower them to be his witnesses throughout the world, everywhere, and eventually to everyone. That's mentioned in Acts 1:8. This is the beginning of a new world. The old world creates enemies and divides people, falsely claiming that some are lovable and others are throwaways. But not so in the kingdom of God. In God's empire, all people mutually love one another without partiality. Pentecost sparked an international effort to include everyone, Jewish, non-Jewish, into God's family, which was the one reason to see the speaking in tongues miracle happening. In Greek, tongues can refer to real human languages, and that seems to be Luke's point here in Acts 2:8. He captures the question everyone was asking. How is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Jesus' apostles were all Jewish and from a small world, northern Galilean part of Israel. They speak the same language, so getting the good news of Jesus to the whole world with them alone would be tricky. Unless, what if the whole world came to them and they quickly became multilingual? In Acts 2:5, Luke says that Jews from every nation under heaven were gathering in Jerusalem at the time of the Pentecost feast. What is the feast of Pentecost? This is a major Jewish harvest party, also called Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks. That happened 50 days after Passover. It is one of three main festivals that brought hundreds of thousands of pilgrims to Jerusalem for a big celebration. The whole world had come to them. And when the wind and fire showed up, everyone was bewildered because each of them was hearing each of the apostles speaking in his own language. It's almost like Isaiah was foreshadowing this Acts 2 Pentecost in the Old Testament. Back when Isaiah was promising the eventual restoration of Israel, he spoke for Yahweh, saying, "You are my witnesses, and I am God. Even from eternity, I am he." That's Isaiah 43:12-13. Now the people hear Jesus saying, "You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and as far as the remotest parts of the earth." Acts 1:8. That's the whole world statement. Nobody gets left behind. The apostles were witnesses to Jesus' resurrection and God's deep, unbreakable love for all people. And to help them tell everyone from everywhere in the world, God empowers them to become multilingual right there and then, in the middle of a massive crowd of international travelers. Again, Isaiah spoke for Yahweh when he wrote about this kind of mission beforehand. "I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth." That's Isaiah 49:6. This is the moment when God's divine fire identified the new temple, the new place where heaven and earth overlap, which is the church community made of Jesus' people. Not a mountain, not a beautiful building, or a sacred place or space. God's temple is made with unexpected men and women. God's dwelling place is in the people who bear witness to the risen Jesus by choosing to live his way of love. And the whole world is eventually going to meet God through this community of people who love God and others like Jesus does. So what is Pentecost Sunday all about? It's about this unexpected, yet expected, moment in the first century Jerusalem where the apostles' heads caught fire when a strange indoor windstorm swirled through a packed party filled with international travelers. It is the day foreshadowed by every wind and fire episode in the Old Testament, and the day that Jesus promised would happen as he quoted the prophet Isaiah. It's the moment this loving church began, and it's the beginning of a new peaceful world. And this will conclude tonight's devotional.